Okay, Sunday night, Chavis Halvavus. This is the 16th shear in Paragimel. Paragimel, the 16th shear. Chavis Halvavus is bothered by why HaKadosh Baruch Hu did this to mankind. If he is the cause of everything, why did he create a world with this cause and effect? He did create a world with this cause and effect, as he showed. He said it has. That's the world Hashem created, and everybody has to admit to that. And just like you can't sit and stare at a piece of bread on the table and say, I have bitachon that Hashem's going to sustain me, you have to pick up your hand and take the bread, put it in your mouth, and chew it. So if there's no bread on the table, you have to walk to the kitchen and get it. And if there's no bread in the kitchen, you have to go to the store and buy it. And if there's no money in your pocket to buy it, so you have to go get a job to get money in your pocket to buy the bread. It's the same as picking up the bread and eating it. So why did Hashem create a world where there's cause and effect, and you're busy doing things which seemingly, which are cause and effect, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one that's deciding if they should work or not. So why not cut out the middleman? That's the Chavis Halvavus' question. Why not cut out the middleman? So he gives two answers. Actually, I could think of a third answer, which he doesn't say. I'm a little surprised he doesn't say the third answer, which is that that goof is an Isayim. But maybe that's included in his first answer. His first answer is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a world in which a person is constantly in a state of bechira, in a state of being tested, where he's determining if he's going to be an Eved Hashem or he's going to not listen to Hashem. And Hashem create. Where does this all come up? This all comes up in a person's life, in a person's hisaskus in sibos, as he calls it. We call it hishtadlus. That's where it comes up. Am I talking about parnasa? Am I going to work on Shabbos? Am I going to talk about my work on Shabbos? Am I going to touch muktzah? Am I going to steal? Am I going to be dishonest? Am I all these things, right? If you're a farmer, am I going to be choresh v'shor v'chamor? Am I going to be choresh kelayim? Am I going, you know, if you look at the Torah, he says, why? How do these things come up? There's like 613 mitzvahs and bechira. So how do these things come up? These things come up as you go through life. If life would not consist of being busy with all of these things that we have to be busy with to survive, if I would just be sitting and learning and Hashem would send down mon, right? So then what would decide, what would determine my bechira, if I'm an Eved Hashem or not? So Hashem made this complicated world of cause and effects, and thereby we have the whole Torah with the don't steal and don't, and then don't be mechallel Shabbos and all right? And then you do things and you base on mikdash to ask Hashem to help you. Everything is because Hashem is not openly revealed to us, and we have this world of cause and effect. So that forces us to involve ourselves in the world, and from that comes all the mitzvahs and all the averis. And you have to do them, and you have to not do them, and this you have an asayon, and you have bechira. So that's where it all comes from. So I was thinking, why doesn't he simply answer that Hashem created such a world, Pasha, to see as an asayon, if you'll have bitachon or not? Anybody will have bitachon if he's sitting at the table and, you know, snaps his fingers and the bread pops into his mouth. Right, and if he doesn't have to go to work, and Hashem sends him mon, so, you know, so that's easy. It's hard to go to work and to get a paycheck and to have bitachon and to think and to realize and to feel that the money's coming from Hashem, not from your boss. But that's included in his teretz. That's one of the nisyonos a person has. Now, his first teretz is to enable nisyonos. He says it that the enabling of nisyonos is found in everyday life. And that's why Hashem constructed a world where you have to do things. And if you don't do them, they don't get done and they don't happen. And that's all. That's why Hashem. So within that framework of all the things that a person does as he goes through life, because Hashem made such a system, in that framework is where you find the Tayag Mitzvahs. That's the framework. That's the crucible. That's what determines. That's where you're tested. There wouldn't be a test otherwise. So included in that test is the test of if you'll have bitachon or not. If you'll realize that Hashem is really empowering everything. So it really is included in his teretz. His first teretz is because that's where nisyonos are to be found in life. In involvement in Olam Hazeh, in involvement in seeming cause and effect, in involvement in all the things that we do. So Hashem says, don't do it this way, that's usur, I'm telling you to do it this way. And take challah when you bake, you know, and then, oh, now you have take challah, you have a mitzvah to do. And don't talk lashon hara, right? So if you didn't have to feel like you have to get ahead, and if you didn't have to make hishtadlus to get ahead, you wouldn't have any reason to want to talk lashon hara, right? I have someone now who is looking for a job, and they're quitting the place where they're working. They want to quit. It's a terrible workplace, but it doesn't look good that she's leaving. It's a she. It doesn't look good. So she's going to apply to a job in the new place, and they're going to say, well, why are you leaving your old place? So she wants to talk Lashon Hara. She wants to say something. I say, you know, what can I do? It's all Jews. You're not allowed to say what you want to say. I can't help you. Just say it. You know, what do you say after a shidduch? You say, it's not for me. Didn't work out. Things didn't work out there. Didn't work out. You're working there 8 years. Well, it took me a long time to figure out. It didn't work out. But so if you had bitachon and bitachon was like that, and there wasn't the world of ishtadlus where you had to look for a job, but you were like, I said, you never saw a cow reading a want ad. The cow, you know, has its parnasa, doesn't need a. So there wouldn't be the nesoyin of lashon hara. I'm showing you like a real life example. Because that person has to look for a job and do that hishtadlus, so now they're faced with the nesoyin of lashon hara. If they wouldn't have to look for a job, if Hashem would say, hey, I send Parnasa, you don't have to look for a job. I decided last Rosh Hashanah if you're going to have Parnasa or not. You don't have to look for a job. But then there would be no nisayon of Lashon Hara. There would be no nisayon of backstabbing. There would be no nisayon of shading the truth in order to get the job. So Hashem makes this world in which you have to do all of these things. And that's the framework in which there's the 613 mitzvahs. That's his first answer.
But why, if someone has any sign of not backstabbing, is the person who's affected by it? Someone decides to backstab because they couldn't hold down on that any sign.
Yeah.
Why is Mr. B the recipient of his?
So now you're asking a question, how could Reuven kill Shimon? It's like you're asking, how can Reuven kill Shimon? Mm-hmm. That's what you're asking.
Yeah.
So it's true, he cannot kill Shimon unless there was a Gzeir in Shemayim that Shimon should die in a Hanami. He would not be able to. Shimon would not be adversely affected by Reuven's backstabbing unless that was also part of Hashem's master plan. Not that he should backstab him, but that he shouldn't get this job, except he could stop not get the job. And if you were the cause of his not getting the job, that's what we learn out, Merishon Yetzei Veshon. That's the murderer will be killed. The murderer will be punished, even though he would not have been able to accomplish his murder unless in the grand scheme of things that person was supposed to die, but no one told him to kill him, right? That was his Bechira.
Okay.
So he chose to be the agent. That's his Bechira, and he'll be punished for being Bocher Barat. So that's the Chavis HaLovis' first teretz. Again, his question is, why is there Hishtadlus in the world? And his answer is, because through Hishtadlus we live life, And in life, we have nisyonos and mitzvahs and averus, and that's the system that Hashem made. And I'm adding to that the biggest nisyon of all. Once HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a world in which we have to do hishtadlus, in which there is cause and effect, the biggest nisyon of all is to maintain bitachon. That's maybe the hardest nisyon of all. His second teretz is to keep us out of trouble. That if people would have nothing to do, so they'd get into trouble. In a leisure society, people tend to Vayishman Yeshurun Vayivat syndrome, it's called. That when there's plenty and they have it easy and things are going well, there's unfortunately a tendency to get into trouble, to want to pursue more taivas, to want to pursue the good life. Yesh lomon erotz emasayim. It's well documented that although ashirus, wealth, and anius, poverty, are both nisyonos, but the nisyon of wealth, even though we all pray for it, but the nisyon of wealth creates many more problems than the nisyon of poverty. It might be harder to live in poverty, but the nisyonos of a rich person and the track record, the batting average of the poor is much higher than the batting average of the rich, much higher. Klal Yisrael in Golos, until the Enlightenment, there was a better batting average than when things were going well.
So we're only talking about Jews in this case.
What?
We're only talking about Jews.
The
slums are just as corrupt.
What?
Talking about Yidden who are poor.
The track record. We could talk about Goyim too.
Yeah,
Goyim are people also. We could talk about Goyim.
Didn't Yidden and poverty have problems in Golos?
Again, all I'm saying is that
everything's
in the Sion. Everything's in the Sion, but poverty, riches have. When you talk about doing averus, you're talking about going off the derech, you're talking about pursuing gashmius, not being focused on the important things in life, then the Sion of Osher, if you look in the Chumash, Vayishman Yeshurun Vayivot, Shamanta Avisa Kosisa, when Klal Yisrael has it well, right, they get into trouble. That's what the Chavis Halvavis is saying. If there wouldn't be Hishtadlos, if Hashem would send Mon, people would have nothing to do a whole day. They'd get into trouble. They'd start to, they would, when people have leisure time, they don't usually do good things with their leisure time. They usually do bad things with their leisure time. So that's his second teretz, why Hashem made a world of Hishtadlos, is to keep us out of mischief, to keep us busy. That's his second teretz.
Although, like you said, everything we pray for is in order that we will, like you said, we want health, we want money, we want this, so that we will be able to serve.
Well, we
Hashem.
Always think,
we think we're capable of it, but
I don't know if we should pray to be rich. Right? Yeah. We pray to Hashem we can make ends meet.
Right,
have no. If you take an area of your children, then you have to be rich. But look at Israel. You don't have to be rich to marry your children. But Ofen Hasheni, no, it's true. You know, of course, we ask for good health, and we want to be healthy, and we want to have enough money to do whatever we want, and we don't want to have to spend the month worrying about if we're going to meet the mortgage and we're going to be able to pay the bills. But that's the best dynamic. When you're worried and you're davening and you want, when a person has history and just sociology, someone would do a survey, you'd see that when a person has it easy and things are going well for him, he tends to get into trouble. It's that nervous edge of, you know, so what a person should do is, you know, realize that he could lose it in a second. And Hanani, if you realize even what a healthy person should be constantly thinking about is that it doesn't take much to have, you know, it sounds depressing, but it doesn't take much to have a stroke, chas v'shalom. It doesn't take much to lose it all in one instant. You could lose. So he's always on edge. It's that being on edge that keeps us davening, it keeps us spiritually oriented. If we have things well, unfortunately, the human condition is that when we have things well, vayishman yeshurun vayivat, we forget Hashem, we think kochi va'otzem yadi, and we relax. We're not hungry for ruchnius. We're hungry for ruchnius when we have troubles.
How would that reconcile? Being worried is sort of a good thing. How would that reconcile with having serenity?
Worry is the wrong word. I use the wrong word. It's sort of when you realize, it boils down to realization of your dependence on Hashem. That's what keeps a person spiritual. And sociologically speaking, when a person has it well and things are going well and he doesn't have problems and just things are going swimmingly well, it's a bigger nisayon for him to maintain that hergish of dependency on Hashem than the poor person who really doesn't know how he's going to make the payments at the end of the month. And he's turning to Hashem always and saying, Hashem, you got to help me. And the person who's going well, it's that much harder. That's his avoda, to turn to Hashem and say, I know it's not me and I know it's you. But that's what Chavis Holbovitz's point. That the reason Hashem made a world in which we're pursuing parnosa, which we're doing hishtadlus, is to keep us busy, plain and pashut. If we have too much leisure time, then we'd be surfing the internet a whole day, and we'd be doing all sorts of things.
So not to take things for granted.
That's what you should do if a person's lucky enough, as we call it, to be rich, and things are going well, and no one's sick, and there's no clouds on the horizon, and things are going swimmingly well. That person's avoda would be not to take anything for granted. It's a harder nisayon. I'm saying there's ashirus and there's anius, and each has its own set of problems and nisyonos. History shows, sociology shows, Jewish sociology, that the nisayon of richness, of things going well, ironically, you wouldn't think so. It's maybe even counterintuitive, but the nisayon of Osher is a harder nisayon. The ani is always looking to Hashem. It's, you know, so good he has a nisayon not to steal and to be honest and not to cut corners, and that's his nisayon. But he's more oriented to Hashem. I'm not saying he's a bigger tzaddik.
But to be pessimistic and to constantly feel that, oh, maybe things are going to turn.
I don't know. That's not pessimism. That's just a trick. I'm not saying to be pessimistic. If you could just think how you're always dependent on Hashem without, you cannot be talking, that it's going to continue.
Is that called be talking, or is that nerves? To think, oh, maybe this will end soon.
No, the oh, maybe it'll end is only if you need it for a trick.
To
realize that you're dependent on Hashem. A way to say Asher Yotzer with Kavana is to think about all the people in the hospital whose bladders don't work, who have bags, and who have catheters poked into them.
Well,
that's a way to appreciate what you have, and when you make Asher Yotzer, you're going to make Asher Yotzer with Kavana. So that's not called being pessimistic. It's more like a mental trick to realize, hey,
most of the time,
then you have to think of another trick. It's true. If it makes you nervous.
But if you're like that by nature, like most of the time,
you're pessimistic.
Then it's not good. Then it's not good. That's not good. Then you have to think of it. Then you have to work the other way, not to be nervous. to be optimistic and to be smiling, then that's not your problem. If you'll, if
you have no guarantee that things are.
Everything in life is a nisayon. Right? It's true. If the pendulum has swung, and your problem is that you're constantly in a state of almost paranoia that Hashem's going to suddenly pluck away everything from you, then your avoda is to have bitachon and to be besimcha. Most people who things are going well, that's not their problem. Most people, when things are going well, their problem is to appreciate what they have, to attribute it to Hashem, to realize that it's from Hashem. That's their problem. Not to say kochi v'otzim yodi. We say, right, hishomru lochem pen yiftel l'avchem v'yachalta v'savata. The next step after v'yachalta v'savata, by most people, as a general rule, is hishomru lochem pen yiftel l'avchem v'sartem v'abadatem olim achirim. When things are going well, we look around for something to fill up our leisure time, for something to do. We forget that Halahu Avicha Konecha Hu Ascha Vayechonecha. We're going to read Hazinu soon. Tzu Yelodcha Teshi Vatishkach Keil Mechol Aleka. These are all in the Pesukim. We forget about Hashem. You'll have most people are like that. If a person is by nature nervous, well, there's two kinds of nervousness. If they're nervous and they're thinking about Hashem's going to take it away from them, that's one kind of nervousness. And if they're stand nervous because they may need
almost like I'm so lucky now. Hashem is so good to me. I hope he's not going to take this away from me and then be nervous.
You see, there's a way to think that way in a healthy way.
So how?
And say thank
can
you, Hashem, for giving us.
Yeah, that's all you have to do. All you have to do
please
is
continue your process.
Yeah, just daven with kavana. That's all. When you say the davening, just think that
can
you're asking
Hashem.
Hashem,
he told like you thank Hashem for the good
thing. So maybe the trick is to increase your avodas. Your devoted, like the davening.
Work on having kavana by tefillah. And don't take things for granted. The way not to take things for granted is to say brachos with kavana, and to daven with kavana. You know that's a mouthful already. You know that takes 10 years of avoda. You know we say every time we make a bracha, berpi yaitz. Every time we say asheyotzar, asheyotzar is the whole gamut of health. You know it's an amazing bracha. It's the only bracha that the Shulchan Aruch spends a siman in the Shulchan Aruch. Explaining the bracha. It goes through the whole bracha and gives a detailed explanation of every phrase in the bracha. It's in Shulchan Aruch Orachayim, in Mishnah Brura, it's Simen Dalet or Hey. It goes through Ashiyotzer and explains what each phrase means. Ashiyotzer as Adam B'chachma. What does B'chachma mean? What's the big Chachma? Uvorav O'Nekovim, Nekovim. Exactly what does that refer to? Chalulim, Chalulim. You know, it's the whole thing. And so most people, though, it's true that most people, though, have Klal Yisrael, and most people, and the Bria, Chavis HaVoda says, have the opposite problem. They forget about Hashem when things are going well. And therefore, Hashem made that you have to have Ishtadlos, Pashut, to keep up, you have leisure time. If you're going to spend your whole time on the beach, sipping, what's it called?
Iced tea.
Iced tea or
hide
the carries, one of the pina coladas. Yeah. You know, you're going to be on the beach. You're going to get into trouble. If he wouldn't have to do his tadlus, hayomarshia. Uboet, he would reject Hashem. Umemaher lahaveros, for lahoyo som leib lecholvoso valtovos Hashem olav. He wouldn't appreciate what Hashem is doing for him. That's human nature. Most people, when things are going well, they don't appreciate it, And they don't realize that they are obligated to serve Hashem in return for what He bestows upon them. Ka'amro, the pasuk says in Yeshaya, b'yakinor v'nevel, music, tov v'cholil, v'yayin mishtehem, v'espol Hashem lo yabidu, they don't look towards Hashem, u'masayod v'ro. V'omar v'yishman yeshurun v'yivot, shamanto avisa kasisa, v'yito shalo ka'asohu. V'omar harishonim, this is what it says in Pirkei Avos, yofet talmud torim derech eretz, which means work. That's what it says in Pirkei Avos. You don't have time to sin when you work, when you learn and you work. So you're busy. You don't have enough time in the day to get you into trouble. That's the, you know, they tell you that with kids.
We don't live by that.
Yeah.
Everyone's supposed
to just
learn.
What?
We don't live by that.
What do you mean?
Some of us do, but like...
No, today doesn't mean working. Today it means respect.
Who?
What does it mean work? Like today, people sit and told me people sit and learn. Maybe.
You want to talk about Kollel now?
No, but like I'm saying, people don't work.
Whose people? Your husband works?
No.
Oh, so... But your husband works?
No, in general.
What do you mean in general?
In general.
Somebody's working. The parents are working.
The parents. Okay.
So somebody's working.
No, there's always a question I had, like on this.
Do you want to have a discussion about Kollel now?
No, I'm just trying to.
Everybody should stay in Kollel for, I think it's a great system, 2, 3, 4, 5 years. Most people, that's not in America, most people don't stay in Kollel more than 5. I shouldn't say most, that's maybe an exaggeration. Not that many people stay in Kollel the past 5 years.
Really?
It's really not as...
Seventh stay all there
what
now?
Has become...
Yeah.
What really? People don't realize, what has become the norm is that your first few years of married life,
yeah,
you stay in Kollel. And that's not a bad idea in today's society to firm up the spiritual foundations of the house. It's a good idea. You don't have many expenses your first few years. Right, and the wife could still work and this and that, and it's a good foundation for the house. Even people who are against Kollel, so to speak, should not be against. If they would really do a study, it's not that bad. I don't know about Eretz Yisrael. It's over a whole different culture that I'm not really acquainted with. But in America, everybody goes to Kollel, yeah, but not more than 5 years. If the 5 years, everybody's finding jobs and going to work.
And it's an impossibility to like ever stay your whole life, I guess. Cause
you do. You have. I know people. I know people in Kollel. I was in Kollel. How many years? I was in Kollel probably 10 years. I was able to stay 10 years. My wife had a good job and it was right near the house, and we have good, you know.
Why was the mission?
And then I got a job. But I worked for a living. I went to work for Otsko. So.
Like you didn't get into trouble.
Oh, you're talking about what?
You're
talking about
learning.
Now.
I'm saying what the mission says.
The
mission.
You know that.
That's
a side point. The mission says there are two things that should keep you busy to keep you out of trouble: Torah and this. Now the question is: so can you do either one? So the Bar Tanura says theoretically you can do either one, but you're not going to just work because then you won't learn at all. That's no good. And if you just work, you'll end up stealing, because where's money going to come from? So you have to have work. But theoretically, you can do either one. Theoretically, you can do either one. Theoretically. Kol Torah sheni mo melacha sofa b'teila v'gorera sabon. The phenomenon... Okay. The truth is, listen to what I'm saying. The phenomenon of Kollel becoming... the norm, although I'm against it, but I'm not really against it, because it's really not that bad. It's not that bad. It's really not. It's not what people say. They stay 5 years. After 5 years, I'd say a good 40 to 60 to 70% are gone, and they have to go and they find something to do. Problem is, what are their skills? That's the problem. They're not skilled.
Is it a modern day invention, or
Kolel, the pervasiveness is a modern day invention, and the Gedolim probably instituted it because of the total destruction of the Shoah.
Mm-hmm.
And all the yeshivas were shattered. There were no scholars around. There were no Torah scholars around.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
I mean, the Hasidim never bought into it. The Satmar Rav, the Hasidim never bought into it. I'm not talking about Eretz Yisrael. I have not yet figured out Eretz Yisrael culture. But the pervasiveness of Kolel is definitely a very, very recent phenomenon. Probably, again, this is my theory, but it's not a chiddush, everybody says this, to rebuild the Torah world after the destruction of World War II.
It makes sense. When it's someone else's son.
The Chazon Ish reportedly said, is reported to have said, that it would take 2 to 3 generations of people learning to rebuild. That's what it'll take. 2 to 3 generations of pushing everybody to go learn in Kolel, to learn, to rebuild the Torah infrastructure. We don't realize the tremendous destruction. All the yeshivas were destroyed. Thousands, hundreds of thousands of Talmidei Chachamim were killed. The whole infrastructure was broken. You had to rebuild from the bottom. Yeshivas, you have to have Kolel. That's probably why. So the question is, when will the pendulum start to swing back? So if you go to Or Yehuda, which has Haredi colleges, it's a city, I think. I know it is a city. That's where there's Haredi colleges. It's called Under the Radar. And they're packed, and they keep adding classes and days, and they have women on alternate days and men on alternate days. And it's a Haredi college, and we don't talk about it, that's all, but it's there.
In Israel?
Yeah. There's Haredi colleges. We don't talk about it. The Torah, we're still like, I think we're probably living in the generation of the shift, where Nachal Haredi popped up, and more and more people, there's a backlash now against the whole Kolel culture. And there's classes at night, and there's classes, there's Haredi colleges, and Haredi this, and Haredi that. It's starting. The shift, I think the Olim are playing a big role in that shift.
Mm-hmm.
Because here's people coming who they're viewed with suspicion, but they're Haredim in religious outlook, but they're regular people. They go to work. Like we really, I feel, and I want the shul to be in the vanguard of that. We are really helping along this subtle shift in society.
I don't have the impression that they don't want that.
They don't, because they're conservatives. They're still, but the shift is happening, whether they like it or not. The societal shift. Anybody who's an observer sees that the societal shift is happening. They don't like revolution. They don't like if we come in and proclaim, you guys are doing it wrong, let us show you the right way to do it. That's what they can't stand. There's no they. We're talking a feeling. They don't like it. They view us with suspicion. We're trying to...
Because we're like a wolf in sheep's clothing.
Yeah, but Lemaisa, I'm telling you what I hope. The societal shift is happening. The Haredi colleges are full. People are going to work. They can't keep buying apartments for their children anymore because they don't have jobs. We're holding by the generation now. The bubble's starting is bursting. I have relatives in Mea Sharim. They stopped buying apartments for their children. They can't anymore. They just can't. There's nothing to build on top of. Right, so they're realizing that you can't just create a generation after generation of schnorrers.
But this system was started by very high people.
Because it was felt it was unnecessary. That's what I think the Chazon Ish said. That it'll take 2-3 generations, but we're at the end of the 2-3 generations already.
Wow.
It's coming to an end.
And look how much Torah we have. Look how many
we built up Baruch Hashem. I mean, it was both a nace And the Gedolim, whether
they're
Nevi'im or not, and how much there was complaining about it, and there was plenty of people talked against them, but there was a chet, they had to rebuild the infrastructure of learning, of Torah.
But it really took them 65 years.
So the Chazon Ish says 2-3 generations. So I think we're seeing the shift now, if you ask me. It's under the radar. We don't talk about it because they don't like revolution. Anything that smacks of revolution, you know, they wanted girls' colleges and girls and this and that, and they didn't want and they didn't let, but it's happening. All these things that they resist are slowly happening. There's programs for girls popping up all over. My wife talked to you at length about it. There's all sorts of programs popping up all over. All sorts of opportunities are opening up.
Do you foresee a deterioration in Torah, though?
No, it's Hashem not. No, because the culture, because such a solid foundation was set. And it's still anybody that goes to work is viewed a little with suspicion. So, you know, it's going to take a lot of years I wouldn't worry about that. That's why they're so suspicious, if they have this feeling, if you're coming in and saying, you guys are doing it wrong, let us show you the right way, that's what they're afraid of. That's what they're afraid of. They're afraid of, then, you know, it doesn't take much. They're afraid that the Torah world will suffer. Mm-hmm. So like this, if you step back and look at what's happening, it's happening by itself. It's almost as if Hashem's doing it. It's happening because it has to happen, because the bubble's bursting. You can't keep on... by the time you hit the third generation of Shnoras, there ain't no money left. when you hit the tipping point of more Shnoras than people to give money, you have to go to work.
But wasn't this foreseen, this bubble bursting?
I don't know. Look, I'm not a Navi. It's happening. Nobody's starving in the streets, and the Haredi colleges are full.
Yeah.
So it's happening. It's happening quietly, incrementally, it's called. It's not happening by someone clapping on a shtender and saying, I'm opening up YU. I'm opening up a yeshiva college. They'll shoot that down, but it's happening on its own, quietly, incrementally. It's happening. Private people go to the Gedolim and say, I have no parnasa, what should I do? He says, what do you mean, what should you do? Go to work. What should you do? Go to work, that's what you should do. Anybody will get that answer from any gadol they go to. But they see it, that they're not going to make YU. They're not going to set up a YU. They're going to set up a Ponovich and a Mir and a Brisk. And the individuals who feel pressed and who feel the need will come and they'll get jobs. And it's happening. It's happening. If you look around, it's happening. So, okay, a little sociology here. Keeps you out of trouble. Okay.
So that's why they don't want to get out of school.
Look, I have a son. Let's say my oldest son. So, Kolel. You know, a lot of people leave Kolel, you know, it's not just money. I'm not talking about Israelis now. I don't know, Israelis are different. I don't know. But it's not just money. People sit, you know, you just don't have that spirit anymore. After 5 years, 6 years, 7 years, you go stir crazy. Enough already, you know, I want to go out. So my oldest son, not even because of money, he's learning in Kollel, he's learning Nehemiah, you know, so he's 30 now. So I don't know, it's like funny, like Hashem runs the world, like because of circumstances, he wasn't looking, he got offered a Rebbe's job somewhere, in like a yeshiva for boys from America and this, and he took it, and he has a job now. So he still goes to Kollel in the afternoon, and he has his job in the morning and night. And okay, it's in chinuch, but it's with boys from America who are, you know, who need a father. So he's already half out of Kollel, three quarters out of Kollel. So he still goes to Kollel in the afternoon, and he still feels, you know. He didn't even go out of money. He didn't, it wasn't even because of money, really. I mean, it helped. It happens. It happens by itself. You know, something comes up. You can't sit all these years either and learn. Israelis, they have like the grandfather and you have three generations of Kollel still. But they're also waking up. The bubble's bursting. I tell you, they can't. Okay, they're all just taped. I have to erase the tape now. Anyway, so the Chavis Halvada says that the reason for Hishtadlus is two reasons. One is to provide a framework for Nisyonos, and number two is to keep you out of mischief, to keep you busy, so you don't have leisure time on your hands. The Dor HaMabul, they said, had too much leisure time, right? So they looked for things to do. American culture, Western culture has too much leisure time, so they have things to do and it ain't good things. So he's not so wrong, it's a very good point. It keeps you out of trouble. When you're busy a whole day earning a parnasa, you don't have time to get into trouble. Okay, we'll stop here. Oh, this was Ilui Nishmas Chaim Ephraim Ben Nosson. This is Schaefer's father, I believe, right? Yeah.